Let me ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 15. I want to look at something tonight. I mentioned this morning in the message about how God supplies for us and to fulfill His plan in our lives. And God has a plan, and He's going to equip us in every way for that plan to be fulfilled. And I want to look at an example of that tonight. Familiar story to you, familiar portion of Scripture to you. But I want us just to see an example of how God puts in our possession for what He has planned for us. And often you and I have Him put things in our possession that we know nothing about. We don't know what it's for. We don't understand it at the time. But if we could learn the importance of just being patient with God. We talk about being patient with each other, you know, and we talk about patience and the importance of it. But think about being patient with God. Now, we go through the Bible, and you can see many characters. They received the promise of God, and then they waited for that promise to be fulfilled. Abraham, you think about Noah. Noah was patient with God for 120 years. We don't want to wait for God 5 minutes sometimes, do we? To do what we want done. But the importance of just recognizing that God puts in our life something that He is going to use us to do if we'll just wait and hold on and let Him do it. Now, sometimes we want to use what He puts there the way we want to use it before He has a chance to show us how He wants it to be used. So let's pray, and then we'll get into something here that I want us to see an example of that. Father, we really want to hear from You tonight. These folks are here because they want to hear something from Your Word that would benefit them in their spiritual life. I pray that tonight You would bless their presence, their faithfulness, and I pray that You would give us something that would cause us to think the way You want us to think about what You want to do in our lives. I pray that You would cause us to see something in Your Word that would make us ponder it, hold on to it, until You want to show us Your precious presence and the fulfillment of Your promises. Bless our time together tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to begin in chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Now, God has promised Abraham. God's called Abraham. Abraham's answered the call. God's made promises to him how He's going to build a nation. He's going to build, Abraham's going to be the father of that nation and how He's going to use him. Now, in this portion of Scripture, I dropped that. Look at verse 13. Here's what God says. And He said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, He tells Abram, now this nation that I'm going to build, you're going to be in bondage. They're going to be in bondage 400 years. Now, you and I know what He's talking about, but think about it. He's telling Abram something. Abram doesn't even understand, I'm sure, completely what God has planned. to put together. But now he talks about this bondage thing for 400 years. But here's the thing I want you to see, the interesting thing. Look at verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward, look at this, shall they come out with great substance. Now, they're going to be in bondage, but I'm going to judge them. They're going to let you go. Once you come out, you're going to come out with a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to put that. Now you think about Abram being told this and how his mind must have raced thinking about what in the world is this all about. And that's what happens often in your life and mine. God does something, and we know of his faithfulness. But let me ask you now, turn to Exodus. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, they've been in bondage. Now he's calling Moses to go down and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you know what he went through with Moses. And now in verse 20, let's look at verse 20 first. And he says, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go out, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Now he tells Moses the same thing. But interesting words here. You might want to make a note here in the margin of your Bible someplace. But in verse 22 it says, "But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor." Now that word "borrow" is not used here the way we would normally use it. The word has the thought of to inquire, to ask. Even has the thought of to beg, even has the thought of to demand. So he's talking about when you come out of Egypt, when they come out of Egypt, when you're released, you are to demand certain things from the Egyptians. And then that word down there, spoil, down to the last of the verse, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. That word has the thought of to snatch away, to rescue, to take out. So what he's saying to Moses here, when you're released, you need to let them know they owe you some stuff. They need to give you this. And he tells him what? And when they offer it, you take everything they offer. You bring it out. Now, go with me over to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. And look at the first three verses of Exodus chapter 11. Now they have had things happen in Egypt, and you know how that God judged and brought the things that happened, and in verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh. All of the plagues had taken place. They had experienced all of that. Everything had happened except the death to the firstborn of every household where the blood was not applied. And that's what he's talking about here, of course. And upon Egypt, afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man, here it is, borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, and then he tells them all of the things, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Now, over to chapter 12. Death has come to the firstborn of every household where the blood was not applied. And then in verse 30 of Exodus chapter 12, notice what it says. And the Lord, well, let me back up. I'm sorry. Let's look at verse 33. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And so they put into the hands of the Israelites as they leave everything that they requested, everything that they demanded, and now they are leaving with this bunch of stuff. Now here's what I want you to think about. They have no idea what this is all for. They have no idea what God is doing. All they know is God told them, you make a request, you make the demand, and then when they offer to send you out with all that stuff, you take everything they give you. And so they did. They did what they were told to do. You and I know the story. We know what God has planned. They have no idea what God has planned. But God has put all of these things in their hands. Now turn with me to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. Now God is ready to do in their lives what He has planned to do. He is ready to build a place. Have them build a place where they are to meet with Him. In chapter 35, notice what it says. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye shall do them. Moses gathers all of the Israelites together. He has them all there and he says, now, here's what God wants to do. And he gives them orders about working 6 days, resting the seventh. Look down in verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring an offering of the Lord and gold, silver, and brass. And then he gives them a whole list of things that they are to bring as an offering. Now, God put this in their possession as they came out of Egypt. Now He's telling them. Now He's ready to do what He had planned for them to do, He has equipped them to participate in doing. Look down in verse 10. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. There, He's talking about the workers. He has equipped many with the material things needed. He has equipped some who are to do the actual labor of building the place to meet with God. Now, look over with me in verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Now get the picture. God gathers them all together. He says, now, this stuff that we came out of Egypt with, God wants you to give an offering of that stuff back. And you folks that have been trained to build and do the labor, get ready. We're getting ready to do what God wants us to do. And then once he gave the orders, it seems like they sort of dispersed, went back to their places to ponder what God had said and what Moses had delivered to them. Now go over with me to chapter 36. In verse 1 of chapter 36, then wrought Bezalel and Eliab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Eliab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses, now it's talking about the workers, and they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Now get the picture. The workers would come to Moses every morning, or the people would come to Moses every morning and bring an offering of the stuff that they had. And Moses would take the stuff and give it to the workers, and the workers would go and do a day's work on the sanctuary. The next morning, the people would bring an offering. Moses would take the offering, give it to the workers. The workers would go to do the work for the day. Now, look at verse 3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought it yet unto him free offerings every morning. And then it says, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work, which they made, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord had commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, so that the people were restrained from bringing. Now, what this tells me, once the worker said, it's finished, don't bring any more, you brought too much. To me, that's telling us that they still had some. He didn't just give them what was for the sanctuary, he gave them some for themselves. But he gave them what was needed to fulfill his plan for their lives at this moment. Now, look at verse 7. For the stuff, you thought I was using a bad word there, didn't you? For the stuff that, they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Now, I say all of that to get to this. And here's what I want us to consider tonight for a few minutes. Here's what I want you to think about. Why did they do what they did? Hey, they had to be made out of the same stuff you and I are made out of. And they had all of this in their possession, silver, gold, raiment. Raiment in that day, that was a part of the value of life, raiment. They had all this stuff. And yet, when Moses came to them and said, okay, folks, here's what God wants to do, they were ready to do what God wanted. Why were they ready? What happened in their lives to cause them to be ready? Now, let's go back to chapter 35, and I want you to see something here. Verse 20, they had all heard the message, and they were pondering what Moses had said. They had all this stuff in their possession. Now they are asked to give. They are asked to give some of the stuff that they have. Notice verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart. Now, this talks about the heart. That's a key word in all of this. What is that? That's not the organ that pumps blood through our veins. He's talking about the emotion. He's talking about the decision-making part of us. That's what he's talking about. Whose heart stirred him up. The first thing that happened to them, they were stirred about the message that God had given Moses and Moses delivered to him. You and I do what we are stirred to do. We are all involved in something. And I'll tell you what that something is. It's what we're stirred to be involved in. Every person you know, the folks you work with, folks you socialize with, maybe, they're all stirred about something. And they'll talk to you about what they're stirred about. Because that's what they're involved in. That's what they do. We have a big football stadium down in D.C. We used to have a football team. They still play. We just don't have a football team. And on Sundays, a few Sundays a year, they play a game at that stadium, and close to 100,000 people will go over there early in the morning. They'll set up utensils to cook, and they'll eat, and they will drink, and it's an all-day affair. By the time the game starts, most of them can't even watch the game, don't even know what's going on. But they just are involved in it because they are stirred to be there. It's what they're stirred to do. People do what we're stirred to do. Years ago, we had a wrought iron patio set. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sat up in our back, and it got all rusty. And I'm not a fixer-upper person. Now, I do have a toolbox. It sets in the corner of my garage. It's one of those things that has a bunch of stuff in it that I accumulated but never used that I talked about this morning. My wife gets scared every time I head toward that toolbox. But we have a son-in-law that is a fixer-upper person. My daughter and my son-in-law were visiting us one time, and they saw that wrought iron patio set, and my daughter said something to my wife about it, and she said, I'll take it. You can have it if you want it. And they took it. Boy, he fixed that thing up, sanded it down, painted it. Next time my wife saw it, she said, man, I could see her thinking, I wish I had it now. So she sort of wanted a wrought iron patio set. My wife's a thrift store person. Now, I like that. Thrift store is cheaper than Walmart. She'll go to the thrift store sometimes. She doesn't go as much as she used to. But she went over to the thrift store one time near us, and there was sitting a wrought iron patio set. And, man, she wanted that wrought iron patio set. Good price, thrift store price. She knew not to call me. I didn't have anything to haul it with. She ran to the church where our son is pastor of the church and ran in and told the secretary, "Where's Mike?" "Well, he's meeting with somebody right now. I've got to talk to him right now. He has a pickup truck." "Well, he'll be finished." "No, no, you don't understand. I've got to talk to him right now." My son had to leave, take her to the thrift store, and they got there in time to get that wrought iron patio set. Do you know why she got it? Because she was stirred to get it. Huh? What I'm saying is, we do what we're stirred to do. Now listen, if you and I would get stirred about missions, God would not have any problem getting us to do what He wants us to do. Amen? Why? Let me show you a second thing here. Go back to chapter, to verse 21 there of chapter 35. "Whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all of his service and for the holy garments. And they came both men and women who, as many as were willing hearted." You see that word willing, willing? When you and I get stirred about something, it causes us to be willing to do it. Our willingness becomes a desire of our hearts when we let our hearts be stirred. We need to be willing to do what God wants us to do. Now look what happens. Go down with me to verse 25. "And all the women that were wise hearted," when we're stirred, we become willing, and then we make wise decisions. When we let God stir us, when God is able to stir us about what He has equipped us with and how to use it, then we will become willing, which leads us to make wise decisions. Now, we do some dumb things, don't we? Huh? We do some dumb things when we're stirred to be willing about things that God doesn't want us involved in. That's when we make unwise decisions. We had a fellow come to our church years ago. It was on an Easter Sunday. He and his wife got up Easter, supposed to go to church Easter. So they got dressed, headed out to find a church, came up to the traffic light, took a left. Our church was the first one they came to, so they drove in the parking lot, parked, came in. Both of them walked the aisle that Sunday and got saved. Boy, they were faithful to our church for many years. He was one of the kindest, most positive people that I've ever met. Just a gentleman, a blessing to me as pastor. Came to me after a number of years and he says, "Pastor, I'm getting ready to retire. And I think we're going to move down to St. Mary's County." That's a couple of counties down south of us. And that didn't mean anything strange to me, because that's what people in D.C. do, move away or plan to. And so he came back after a while and said, "We've put our house up for sale, so we're going to be selling it and making the move." And I suggested a church down there, and they went for a while and were not as faithful as they were at our church. But after a while, after they had moved away, I got a call one day from one of his daughters, and she said, "Pastor," said, "my dad is in Malcolm Grow Hospital." That's the hospital on Andrews Air Force Base. And said they've just diagnosed him with cancer, and there's nothing they can do about it. And so, would you go see him? And I said, I'll go right over. So I went over and got to his room. And I'll never forget, I knocked on the door and pushed the door open. And as soon as he saw me, as soon as he laid eyes on me, he said, Pastor, I should never have left Clinton. I should never have left Independent Baptist Church. I never thought about it. But what he was saying to me was, I made a bad choice. I did not make a wise decision. Why? Moving away from that county, getting out in the country, stirred his heart. And they had become willing to do what God did not have for them to do, evidently, because he was very convicted about it. Hey, that's what happens to us. If you and I would just become wise in this fact that God is putting in our possession what's needed for his plan to be fulfilled in our life. Even the difficulties, even the conflicts, what he puts us through, what he lets us go through, what he gives us materially, hey, it's all his. We are his. He owns us. He has a right to use us. But he uses us not because he has a right, but because he loves us and wants the best for us. And he puts in our possession what he wants to use to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to us. You and I need to make up our minds. I'm not going to look at all of this stuff like I own it. God, help me to recognize it's your activity in my life.